You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
And make sure to check out the Broadway Podcast Network. We are proud members of BPN. You can see all of the amazing podcasts and their hosts. And if you just love theater, check out bpn.fm/husbands.
Yeah.
Okay, today we have very dear friends of ours as guests. And we just had a lot of fun setting up their microphones and figuring out all this setup. So we were really excited
to talk to them. Here and that we're able to hear them and that we're able to connect. Please welcome to the podcast Ryan Vanna and Caitlin Houlihan.
Yay!
Yay! Hi, guys.
How you guys doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
We're doing good. We're
welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, friends.
It's so great to be here.
Yeah.
Where are you coming from?
So we are coming at you live from Newton, Massachusetts.
Right outside of Boston.
Yeah, we are spending some time with my folks while New York is at a standstill.
Right.
You know.
Yes. We all, as we all, but I know you guys have also gone back and forth between Ohio and Massachusetts and.
Yes. And I'm from Aurora, Ohio. So that's where we originally went when the shutdown happened.
Yeah.
After we quarantined for 2 weeks or even more, because we were really nervous about leaving and going home to my parents. And we were supposed to stay there for 2 weeks and we ended up staying for about 5 months. So now on the other end of that, we're spending some time with Ryan's family, for the time being. Yeah.
We lucked out and got a sublet in our apartment in New York and now we just kind of hunker down for the winter.
Living with the parents, the in-laws. Yeah.
My sister is also here with her husband
and their dog,
and we have our dog. So it's quite a full house. My parents are elated to have everybody here.
So far.
And is everyone getting along okay?
Oh, yeah. We get along swimmingly. It's a good. It's a very fun house.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so tell us individually, you know, who you are, where you're from, and
we just learned where they're from. So,
We know where they're from, but just tell us a little bit individually before the two of you met. You know, who you are and what you were doing before you met.
Well, hi, I'm Caitlin. If you can't tell from my voice, so pretty much before I met Ryan, which was about 6 years ago, coming up in October, I had graduated from Baldwin Wallace University. I had showcased. I had moved to New York, and I had been working in a restaurant in Chelsea, but I had recently quit because I was starting a little project called Peter Pan Live, and that is what I was doing when I met Ryan.
And I was at the time a two-time college dropout, and I was doing a show called Once, and a new addition to the cast, her name was Shannon O'Boyle, was a recent grad of Baldwin Wallace, and we would, you know, have conversations about girls and all that stuff, and she was just like, you know what, I got a girl who you need to meet. And I went, okay, fine. And so we met at Glasshouse Tavern on 47th Street one Sunday after my show.
Classic.
And she came in
cliche.
She came in with her friend Chris as backup, and we just sat at the bar and talked just for hours, and kind of knew immediately. We were like, "Oh, okay, this is the rest of my life. Sweet."
Aww. Aww. Wait. Before we get into the romance, so wait, you were a two-time college dropout?
Yes. I went to Penn State for music theater. And then I guess after my sophomore year, I went to the city to study at the Stella Adler Studio of Acting and for a year and a half. And then over my winter break that year, I got lucky and got an audition for once and booked it in the middle of the second term and had to leave to do the show.
But also his booking once was really unique because he actually auditioned in Boston for the tour for a completely different character and pretty much booked Broadway from that. Going into it, you think, okay, I'm going in for the tour. I'm going in Boston. I'm just going to try this. I'm going to bring a bunch of instruments. And then 21 years old, just landed his first Broadway show.
It's just sad that you never learned how to act because you never finished school.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Bird, you need some ice for that burn.
I'm working on it though. During quarantine, I'm starting to learn.
Yeah. Well, I offer coaching, so.
So, what was the conversation?
All right. So, what was the conversation like at Glasshouse? What did Caitlin say that made you fall in love with her instantly? Can you remember one thing?
She said her name was Caitlin Houlihan, so I knew she was Irish. We opened up immediately. Both of our fathers had recently suffered heart attacks, and that was just on the table. We were talking about that. We were talking about how we grew up in spiritually and our family's connections to music and our ancestry, and we dove in a way that I, had never felt connected before to anybody else. And
I had also that past week tried Guinness for the first time. And so that's I was on this kick of drinking Guinness. And so when we sat down at the bar and both ordered Guinness, I think that I like to think that I gained some points there. Points.
Oh, def.
And
here's really? A proper Irish
No,
glass.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the Guinness.
It was the Guinness.
Do you consider that your first date?
No, there was a very specific day that he took me on an actual date, and I met him at the stage door, and basically we he took me first to this place to get a drink, and then we went across the street and he took me to the top of the rock. And it was the day before Halloween, and his friend was having a Halloween party, kind of his band was playing in Astoria. And so literally out of his pockets, he was we have to wear costumes. And so he pulled out cat ears and a cat nose for me and dog ears and a dog nose for him.
Ryan, which, that is so cute.
Weirdly foreshadowing because we have a dog and a cat. And then we went to this bar and listened to music, and it's a honky tonk band, so there's lots of fun dancing, and so I count that as our first date because it was he planned the whole thing, and the everything was a surprise for me. That's what I consider our first date.
Does that match your idea of your first date, Ryan?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was very much.
Did you feel, were you patting yourself on the back? I am a success. I did great.
I have done it. No, I was just having fun. And she brings out fun in me. And
aww, yeah. It's like, so romantic.
It's so romantic.
Okay, so then who said I love you first?
Ryan yelled it at me. Yeah.
Why did he yell it at you?
Well, Ryan. The beginning of our relationship had like some
obstacles
to get over, and I was dragging my feet and being kind of wishy-washy, and it was like it felt like it was out of a movie. We're like fighting like against like a wall on like in Hell's Kitchen, and I said like something like, why do you even care? And he said, because I love you. And then we stopped fighting. So yeah, that was it. That was his first time.
Then it started raining and we were kissing and
it did?
No.
Oh.
Like The Notebook. Like,
I don't remember that part. Exactly.
I turned into a bird.
But it was like a moment that like both of us just like burst out laughing because it was so like
melodramatic.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous, but like wonderful. So yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious about, you know, when you're so, I mean, you guys met so young and you're in this, like, what I would say is like, you're in like very successful in your careers, like pretty early on. Did that have any consideration? Like, you're like, look, I got to focus on my career. Like, were you like thinking like, this isn't like a priority right now? Like, how much was your career in play when it came to your relationship?
I don't think it was really in play. Like, it's nice to be with someone who understands what you're going through. But I mean, I think our relationship has always been like, it's never like something that intersects with our careers at all. I think we just sort of like, we have our career and we have our relationship, and we're not, I would never like sacrifice my relationship to like spend more time with my career. I don't know. I've just never put the two of them together.
Well, I think the benefit of like meeting young is that we are both really starting off in our careers. And so we were really supportive of each other and really understanding of the fact that this was a time when we needed to put career first. But it never really came between our relationship. Even when I went on tour, there was never a like talk of like, are we going to stay together or are we going to break up? Like, it was just kind of like, cool, I'm going to go on a tour. You're going to start this other Broadway show. And it's hard because, you know, being in rehearsal all the time for a new show.
For 5 months.
Yeah, exactly. For so long. And, you know, being on the other side of the country, like, isn't exactly something that is enjoyable. But there was never a question of, like, should we leave this behind? And I think that it's been nice to always have that understanding, you know, even when it comes to being in tech for something and really not seeing that person, you know, for a long time. It just, we've always understood, which I really appreciated.
How long would you go when you were on the tour, Ryan? Would you, before you started rehearsals, were you able to make it out and visit Caitlin? Or what was like your rule? Like, Brett and I have like a 3-week rule when we're apart from each other for a long time. We try and see each other every 3 weeks. Did you guys have some sort of rule like that?
We never had like a rule because it was also like pretty new in our relationship, and we were just kind of taking it as it goes. What, you started in November, I started in January.
You came to see me like
in LA.
You spent like a week with me in LA, yeah. And there were different like times when I had like layovers and I could go back to New York. But I think the longest that we didn't see each other was like 10 weeks. And I remember at 6 weeks, that was like the lowest point, because it was just like, this is too long. We need to have a rule like this. And like, luckily we haven't really had to do that since.
Yeah. Any like regional gigs have always been pretty commutable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in Jersey or Connecticut or tri-state area. So we haven't really had too much
distance. But if we were to go on another tour, one of us go on a tour, there would definitely have to be some sort of a, okay, we can't go this long without seeing each other.
Yeah, it's kind of saves us when that happens. So I remember, so people listening probably don't know this. I did Paramore, the Cirque du Soleil musical, with Ryan. That's when we met, when Caitlin was on tour. And I remember asking Ryan, when are you going to marry her? I remember, like, and I don't even remember, like, how long you guys have been dating, but I was just like, when's this going to happen? Because it just was so clear. It was just so evident that it was inevitable. And then we hit 2020 and you've got your wedding plans in Ireland, and we had our Airbnb booked and we were ready to come.
Yeah.
And then
July of 2020
pandemic hits. But you,
I'm laughing behind tears.
Yeah. Talk about your pandemic wedding. Tell us about it.
Talk about the decision. Yeah.
So we were originally supposed to tie the knot in Ireland, the land of our forefathers. And it was going to be a great little celebration. We were going to have the Broadway husbands there as the flower girls. And then March, we're like, oh, this is interesting. Something's happening. Let's go visit Caitlin's family for a couple weeks. And then we'll figure out like how to proceed with the wedding. And then as it
I'd spoken with our, we have a wedding planner over there, and just the sweetest thing in the world. And we were constantly in contact, and she was well aware that it was affecting all of the marriages that were supposed to be happening. And she had kind of talked me down to a point where she said, you know, Ireland is taking this extremely seriously. I really think that by July, like, we'll be able to open up a little bit and, like, maybe we'll have to, you know, cut down on numbers. But I think that it's a possibility. And then as it got closer, we had to have the harder conversations of Americans are not allowed in. So this is going to be a little more difficult.
Yes.
And so it pretty much got to a point where we had contemplated pushing it to November, pushing it to next year, kind of went through all of the options and the ups and downs of, like, emotionally just feeling like, is this going to happen? Is this not going to happen? Is this, you know, like, superstitiously, is this a sign that, you know, we shouldn't be having it there? And there was just a day when I just was crying because I felt just so, like, I couldn't look forward to my wedding day because I didn't know when it was going to be. And
yeah, I think the most important thing to us was, like, let's just get married here. And here was Cleveland. And, you know, we can celebrate our wedding whenever we want, and we can, like, every year we'll celebrate it. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we can go to Ireland, we'll go and we'll have our friend. But it ended up being just, like, a perfect day.
Everything fell into place. Like, pretty much we went out, we told my parents, okay, after, like, the 10 other plans we've told you about, which they were so cool and on board for any of them. We pretty much said, this is what we want to do. We want to get married in the church that, like, my family grew up in. And my dad, like, immediately called the priest. He said yes. And we kind of got the ball rolling from there.
Yeah.
And
So we just had, like, a small ceremony in the church, and it was just our immediate family and friends looking on over like YouTube Live. Mm-hmm. And then we just had, like, a nice dinner, and it happened to be 4th of July, so there were fireworks all around us, which was just kind of magical. It was perfect.
And there was a full moon, and it was, we had, like, a small reception outside with games and like yard games and things. And it was just, it ended up being perfect in its own way. And it's definitely something memorable that, you know, you never forget your wedding day, but especially this.
You looked gorgeous. We watched it all on YouTube.
It was beautiful. And my mom watched it with us and she was like, oh, my mom was like crying and, you know, because it was a holiday and we were all together. And then we were like, let's watch.
And she's Catholic.
And she's Catholic. I mean, it was like she loved it and it made her so happy to see people getting married during this time. It was just a beautiful day. So congratulations.
We're so happy for you guys.
We can't wait to celebrate. Nice. It's nice to kind of. Exactly. And we'll be able to hopefully go to Ireland and be able to celebrate our marriage, but also celebrate that we can travel and that hopefully we're on the other side of the pandemic and that we're kind of that it's in control. So hopefully that'll be a really, really happy day.
Yeah. Since you've been married, have you learned anything new about one another that you didn't already know?
Oh, I mean, she's an open book.
What does that mean?
I mean, I knew what I was. I knew everything I was inheriting. I'm pretty sure. Is there anything you've learned about me?
I don't think so. We've always just been like extremely open with one another. Like, I'd say the only thing that I'm learning is like. When we've lived with our parents now, both of our parents. And I think that brings out a different side of you because when you're home in your childhood bedroom, you feel a little different. And so it's weird to like have like someone who you're so close with sharing in that. So I think that there's like maybe like some old stories that come out of the woodwork, but
I think we're also learning where our idiosyncrasies come from yes. spending time side by side with like mother and daughter, father and son, little things we do around the house that like we've always like she always knows I like leave cabinets open, but she never knew why or why I put like the stove or why I put like pans on the stove to dry. She never knew why I did that. And then she
it's
comes
now
home.
Evident.
It's my mother. It's things I just inherited. And so, yeah, we're finding out why we know everything about each other, but now we're learning why. So we're getting very meta into it.
I think that I think we have the same.
That is
similar.
So, yeah, relatable right now.
Yeah, I think we have the same kind of thing. And, you know, we've been together a little bit longer, but I think after spending time with my family, I learned a lot about myself just being around my family because it's been so long since I spent that much time. And then now being around Brett's family, I feel like everything that he has told me I'm now experiencing. So it's a time of growth for sure.
And it's not like it's not typical in these times. I think maybe now it's becoming more normal, but I was talking to my mom and her mother lived with her in-laws like the first few years that they were married, and it was kind of like more common, you know, to get on your feet, then you get a house. And I think prior to the pandemic and kids kind of moving home with their parents, it wasn't normal to get married and then live with your parents for a little bit. Like, it's definitely not what you think the first year of marriage is going to be. And so it's very interesting because I don't think that otherwise we would not have had this experience to live with each other's parents and kind of experience each other in our childhood homes and childhood bedrooms. So different things come up. It's really interesting.
It almost feels like a TLC reality TV show.
Totally. With your parents.
It is the in-law.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I just want to speak to this because, Caitlin, you were opening a brand new Broadway show when everything shut down as well.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you with the anticipation of that show? Because you did the show at the Public, Girl from the North Country, but so you had the anticipation of waiting for that to happen, to transfer, and then the transfer starts and then boom, everything shuts down. What was that experience like?
You know, the show Girl from the North Country is something that's really, really special to me. I had previously done Waitress, and I think when you're on Broadway for the first time, that you have a lot of feelings, or at least in my experience, I had a lot of feelings of like imposter syndrome, and kind of just believing that this is a fluke, that this is a one-time thing. You just kind of feel like, is this going to be my one Broadway show and then I never do it again? Am I ever going to be on Broadway again? And when I booked Girl from the North Country, it was at the Public, but it was something different. And my experience with the show was so beautiful and enlightening, and I learned so much from everybody around me because it's truly an ensemble piece. And so it never felt like there was someone in the room who was higher up than everybody else. And that's like a really special thing to experience as an artist. It's really like, it really helps you blossom. And so when the show was, when it was announced that it was moving to Broadway, it was something that was really highly anticipated by myself. And so being able to open a show and be in an original cast is something so different from being a replacement. So the experiences that I had through tech and through doing 10 out of 12s and doing just being in a new theater and being able to decorate my dressing room space, that was like, it was all firsts for me. And my roommate was Kimberlyn Sprawl, and we spent a good amount of money making our dressing room beautiful and girly, and like we wanted to be the room that like people came to afterwards to have a drink. And I remember the day before we opened, we were just chatting, putting on our makeup, getting into, you know, I was doing pink curls, and I said to Kimber, I really hope we're open for a long time because we spent a lot of money on this room. And I kind of feel like I jinxed it a little bit. But to your question, I think it's really, it's like the hills and valleys, because opening a Broadway show is like some of the most tangible excitement and tangible energy that I've ever felt. And it was incredible. We had our after party, and just the feeling of accomplishment of we opened something on Broadway. My parents came in to see the show on opening night, and Ryan and my parents and I were driving home from the party, and the New York Times article came out by Ben Brantley, and he absolutely loved the show, and the review was poetic, and it was just like, oh my gosh, all of this is just like too good to be true. And then the next week, we had an interesting week because it was pretty full. So we opened on a Thursday. We had shows Friday and Saturday. We had Sunday and Monday off, and those were the days that we recorded our cast album. And the next day we came into work and two people had tested positive for the flu, and they were two of our swings. So people started getting a little nervous, and there was of course like some chatter about, the virus coming in and everything. And then pretty much, it was Wednesday evening, and I remember someone came off stage and said, Tom Hanks has it. And I was like, no, not Tom Hanks. And then like the next time they came off stage, they were like, NBA's canceled. And then everyone just kind of looked at each other like with wide eyes going, okay, like this, I don't think we're going to be back. And it was a low to put it in basic terms.
Yeah.
You know, to get the news that we weren't coming back, especially after coming off of just a high.
Yeah. Yeah. And you really turned it around though, I think, with being able to plan your wedding and like make the best of this opportunity. And, you know, we will be back. Broadway will be back. You will be back in that beautiful dressing room. And I can't wait to see it.
And now, and now as a married couple, have you been creating together? Have you, you know, Ryan, I know you're a songwriter. Okay. Have you guys been, is that a thing?
Is that a thing? I think I would know that.
No. He likes to make a lot of jokes about it. And I don't like it. But Ryan's dad is a pretty incredible builder, developer. And
yeah, so he and I like did a little work, and you guys can't see it. Well, Stephen and Brett can see it, but we built like a sound studio in my childhood bedroom so that we could be on the Broadway Husbands podcast.
And thank you for doing that.
Yes, it was our pleasure. And so that we could do like little recording projects here and maybe just dip our toe into the voiceover game, because that's one of the only accessible things for actors to do during a pandemic is voiceover Humira commercials. And, so we've been doing a little bit of that. We've just been trying to, like, I guess use this time to be like, let's work on our health from, like, our physical and mental health, like, all across the board. So we're just, you know, getting out there and playing in the field.
I just want to take a moment and plug Ryan's album, which is so good. He's such a talented singer-songwriter. And I was just saying to Stephen the other day, Stephen found some channel. Long story short, we got Apple TV, and he found some channel.
It's not Apple TV, it's AT&T.
Sorry, AT&T TV. Some channel called like Axis or something.
And it's all concerts and live performances of various bands. And it's actually really cool. But they had a Farm Aid concert on the other day. And Dave Matthews was like playing from a shack in the woods somewhere.
And he's amazing.
He's amazing.
And I was like, Ryan Vanna is just as good, if not better, than this guy. So if you guys want to really hear some amazing music, you should follow Ryan and listen to his album.
Yeah.
Truly. And listen out for upcoming music.
Yeah. The album's called Somebody, but you can also listen to Dave Matthews. He has a great catalog of music.
He does, but I'm not putting him. I'm putting your link in the description below, not his.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so we just... You know, you really do feel like family to me. I mean, I think that having gotten through Paramore together and all that time that we spent together, I just adore you. And I'm just so proud of both of you. And just really feel honored to have you on the podcast today. Are there any questions you
want to
ask
before
you move? Friends of the pod. No, I kind of just want to say the same thing. I think when I first met you, the two of you, it was so apparent to me that you guys were in love. And I don't think I realized how young you were and how new maybe your relationship was. And I remember once I realized that, I said to Brett, I was like, wow. I was like, they're just like really in love, and you can just tell. And like, I think I just want to say it to you. The guys are just so open and honest and real. And I think your marriage is beautiful. So yeah, thanks for being here. And thanks for being you guys.
Thank you.
Your marriage is beautiful.
Oh my gosh. You gotta be open and honest. It's the only way to be.
Of course.
That's really sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
We adore you guys.
We love you.
Really, really do.
Miss you. All right. We're gonna move into a segment that we call
Spotlight on Love.
Ooh.
Okay, in this segment, if you haven't listened to our podcast, we have a follower, a listener write in seeking some sort of relationship advice. It could be romantic, it could be familial. And then we and our guests offer unqualified advice in return. So
yes, armchair therapist, or what is it called? Armchair psychology. Totally. Something like that.
So we had someone write in, and Stephen, do you want to read what their question is?
Yes, they would like to remain anonymous. They wrote, "What do I do if the guy I'm casually,
quote unquote,
seeing now wants to be friends? Is that even possible? How do I keep it from being awkward?"
Okay.
Here's the thing. Personally, I think if Anonymous, we'll call this person, if Anonymous still has feelings for this person that they were casually dating but wants to be friends with them, I don't think that it's possible to be friends, because I think that Anonymous is only setting themselves up for hurt. So I think if there are feelings involved, I think it's a cut the cord kind of thing, and then a maybe revisit in the future if you think that you don't have feelings there, but you still want to be their friend. Ryan?
So I think, like, as our relationship started, you weren't ready to dive fully in. And so not able to, like, knowing I was going to love this person as a friend or as anything, I had to just say, you know what, I'm going to take a step back and not talk to you, let you kind of figure out how we're going to proceed going forward. And as soon as you're ready to kind of make a decision on yes or no, are you going to be my love? Like, I got to take a step back and not talk to you. And then we got back together like a week later and we're like, cool, we're going to go through this. So I think if this person is, you know, not wanting to be just friends with this casual acquaintance, they need to take a step back and just say, hey, I can't be just your friend. So I have to be nothing for the moment, and then revisit it. And if it's only going to be a friend thing, try to accept it. And if you think you can be friends with this person and that's going to be a healthy addition to your life right now, then continue on with the relationship. If you can only be romantically involved with this person, then you cut the cord and say, you know, I have other friends.
Yeah. Those are really great answers. And also, I feel like I didn't think this when we wrote this question, when we got it and we wrote it in the notes, but like, it kind of reminds me of, by you saying that, is Brett kind of did the same thing to me in the beginning of our relationship.
Sorry.
You know, we were like, I guess we were casually dating.
I was definitely the Caitlin and the...
It was like we were casually dating, I guess. I guess that was what we were doing. And then he kept kind of just being like, I'm like kind of pushing me away and kind of like not sure.
How does this help the person?
Okay, so no. I'm just saying that, like, so...
Get to it.
I think that you have to be clear on what it is you want, right? So I think if you're clear on what it is you want, and if they're not able to give that to you, then, you know, like you've said, just kind of cut the cord and walk away. Because if you want to be more than just friends and they don't, then you need to just walk away. Or you can let them have a moment. And if they come back, then you know it's meant to be, right? But I think that you need to, like, be clear as to what it is you want, and then go after that and, like, take the next steps to do that, and don't rely on them to be any different, right? Just do what it is that you want and take care of that first.
And I think clear communication too. I think if you're saying, okay, you know, if the person says to them, you know, I don't think I want to casually date, but I'd love to stay friends, then Anonymous needs to be upfront and clear and say either, you know, well, I have feelings for you, so I don't think I can be friends with you. So I'm, right. I'm gonna, you know, I need to remove myself from the situation. I need to cut off contact or whatever it is, yeah. or say, I don't think I can get there. I don't think I can be your friend yet. Right. You know, I need to heal from this. Right. But just ultimately communication, clear communication, when you're being honest about how you're feeling, there you cannot have fault in that because yeah. that's, word. You know, honest.
Yeah, word. Agreed.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think it's easier to go from friends into something romantic than it is to go from romantic into friends. Like that's, I think that's
completely.
So like, that's why you gotta be.
People say, oh, this isn't working for me. This isn't working for me either. I think we're meant to be friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets very tricky to go back and forth and
yeah.
rare. It's very rare.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Then also think about like, if you are friends with this person and then you start dating somebody else, and then how's that person going to feel with your history? I mean, I guess that people figure this about, again, it's about communication, but
yeah,
you know, yeah, those are really good tips. You guys, you know what you're doing.
You guys too. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being guests. We want to, where can people follow you guys on social media or where else?
Right now, I am pretty much only on Instagram at Kate Hula.
And you can not follow me at the moment. So, yeah, that's another thing.
What is that?
So, well, we are... We have a lot of
conflicting feelings about social media at the moment. Mm. I'm sure like a lot of other people, we watch Social Dilemma and being in the pandemic has affected, it's affected mental health in a lot of different ways. And so we're trying to figure out how to help ourselves. And part of that has to do with social media. So you can currently follow me, but it might not be there for much longer. There's definitely an inner dialogue that's been happening about social media. Yeah. But
yeah, I recently deactivated my Facebook and Instagram and it's all gone. But you can go on to www.ryanvanna.com and... Yeah. Send me an email.
You can find his album there too.
Definitely listen to his music. I totally like. This is like a whole nother episode to talk about social media. Yeah. We were talking to our friends last night. Mm-hmm. You know, and he brought up Social Dilemma, and it's a great documentary, and super scary but enlightening. And But he made some remark. He's like, Brett, you're just diving into social media even after watching the documentary. And I'm sort of in this weird place too, where it's, well, I have a business and we use social media for that. But I also think it's all in how you use it. It's all in how, what are you using it for? And I think the difficult challenge is that most people don't use it consciously. They use
completely.
They use it as a news source, or they use it as a way, as a false way of staying connected. Mm-hmm. And they don't actually use it for what I see it as a creative outlet and a, you know, maybe surface connection, but it is a way to connect with others that maybe you don't know, you know, but
yeah.
But initially,
I think when it was created, like the reasons it was created, the reasons that social media, you know, were created were for good things. You know, it was to keep connected and
it's a tool.
And I think it's just unfortunately been unregulated and we've kind of been guinea pigs for this new world of advertisement and of filters and you know, kind of seeing the grass being greener somewhere else. So I think like unfortunately it's been used for other things and it's happened before our eyes, and so we've like grown very accustomed to it. And it's true, it's like it's what you use it for. And some people it's like very simple for them to use, it's very great for their brand or their business. But I think when you're thrown into, you know, the life of Broadway and, and trying to share things from your life. It's definitely, you know, something that causes
anxiety,
a lot of thought. Yeah.
And I think kind of going back like an hour into this podcast or however long when you're talking about career and and the relationship, like right now we don't, I mean, we have career, like our careers haven't stopped, but like the Broadway, like, and that it's not there.
Right.
So I don't feel like there's anything to promote.
Right.
So right now I've shut it off and it's just the relationship. And I'm just like with Caitlin and with my family, and I'm able to, I'm like, I connect with friends via like FaceTime and texting and podcasts and
it's about finding what like is making your heart sing.
Well, and I also think that like what's really beautiful about that is that if for anyone listening is you can always turn it off, like Ryan, it's
completely.
Like completely just it is you are not going to miss out on anything. Like
completely
take a break or shut it down completely. I mean, it really, like I was saying to a coaching client that I was like, I know plenty of people who have great careers and have never been on social media.
Completely.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a mistruth, if that's a word, about performers and needing to have that social media to get in the room and to, you know, be seen and kind of create buzz. And I think that there's definitely, there are people who know how to use that to their advantage, and which I think is great. I'm not one of those people. You know, it just isn't something that like makes me comfortable, but you know, it's all about how you use it, what you're using it for, and knowing when enough is enough and I need to take a step back from this.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, on that end, we are so glad you came out of your cocoon and came and talked
and
to us.
On the podcast.
Us too. It's just so lovely to hear your voices.
Yeah.
We love you guys. And to all of our listeners, don't forget to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.